flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, you can go and pop over there right now if you want. The G-Bag Nation will be live from the Brass Tap in Rockwall. There are rumblings that Peyton will be there as well. If you want to go check out the G-Bag Nation, you should go, even if you don't like Peyton. Now.
Yeah, go harass him.
I do.
Is that? That's okay to say,
no,
right?
No, I don't feel like that is.
I didn't say sexually.
Yeah, verbally. Well, yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to go through what I think is a pretty stunning turn of events for one ranking of Sebastian Walcott. Now, we talked about how the Rangers had 3 prospects in the top 50, and MLB.com has them with 3 prospects in the top 50. I think it was Baseball America who had the Rangers with 3 prospects in the top 50. So does MLB.com, but they have it differently. Whereas Baseball America had it like 20 and 21 for Walcott and Rocker, MLB.com has Walcott 17, Rocker 44, and Alejandro Rosario, who we've talked about a couple times now, at number 50. And that's all fine and well, and we can talk about that more if you want.
I would just say for Rocker, we have a lot of expectations for him as Ranger fans, but what a job he did. From being like thrown off of every top 100 yes. list out of, you know, on Vanderbilt when he was coming out in the draft, he would have been on everybody's top 30 list of yes. Once he got drafted, we're throwing him way up on the board. But from what he's dealt with injury wise and not really being able to pitch for approximately 3 years until the end of last season, for him to do what he did and get into these top 50 prospect lists is pretty impressive from where he was a year ago on this date.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Now, I wanted to take you to somebody else because this really caught my attention. Do you know and or respect Keith Law?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So
he is the law.
He has Alejandro Rosario at 64 the prospect rankings. Fine and well, we can...
My son asked me about him, and I was like, I honestly have no clue about him.
Okay.
He's on the top 100 list. So I think for Ranger fans, they're like, give me more on him. I honestly have not asked. I have not watched. I don't know anything about him, except it's good news you have a pitcher in this thing.
So he had really rough runs in college with his ERA leading into the draft, but a whole bunch of people liked him, and one of the things they talked about was he had a splitter that he didn't really use. And Miami, the college, really focused on him working more on a sinker and his changeup. Well, guess what? The Rangers were like, let's throw the splitter more and go with a four-seamer. And boom, that has made all of the difference. Keith Law predicted, even as is, Rosario sitting at between 92 and 95. He has a plus splitter, an average slider. He could be a mid-rotation starter and get to the majors this year. So,
okay.
Mike,
encouraging.
The way things have gone is it feels like there was a time the shape was a little higher, and now it seems like the shapes of pitches are splitter. Everybody wants the splitter now to be part of their fastball splitter so they can stay low and away from guys.
Because so many guys throw hard these days.
Yeah.
A lot of times a curveball from a hard-throwing guy can at times, I don't want to say always, because think of Nolan Ryan, great curveball.
Yeah.
Dwight Gooden, a lot of players. But a lot of times that what they teach is now fastball, and they'll say cutter.
Fastball,
but
it's slider, splitters.
Yeah. Like a cutter should only be about 3 to 4 miles an hour. If we're defining the real definition of pitches,
yeah.
A cutter, if you're throwing 95, your cutter should be 90, 91.
Yeah.
A lot of times it'll be like 87, right? That's a slider. That's a hard slider. You can have slower sliders and harder sliders, but then they throw the slower sliders a sweeper, right? So they've redefined these terms and everything. But I do think for guys that throw very hard, they like throwing sliders at times more because you're not totally behind the ball. What I mean by that is a fastball, you're totally behind it. That's what keeps it as straight and as hard as possible. When you're throwing a slider, all you're doing is getting a little off center of the ball, and it's kind of coming off the inside part of your number one finger, and that makes the ball give a little bit of sideways spin. And that's easier for a hard thrower. Just throw the living pee out of it, mm-hmm. and it's going to move a little bit. We'll see how much it moves, and we'll say you throw a cutter or a slider or a sweeper somewhat based off of if I were just to grab a ball and say, get on the side of it, throw it, make it come off the inside of your finger. Now we'll define what you have off of that. So a lot of times, well, if I don't have anything going down like that and you don't like throwing changeups because you just want to throw the pee out of everything and everybody's saying just throw the pee out of everything is, well, let's just split your fingers, grip the ball firmer, and then that ball should have pretty much downward action off of the same tunnel of your fastball, if that makes sense.
And that seems to have benefited him.
And you're going to kind of hear something variation of that. Kumar Rocker is 51st on the list. So quite a bit lower than Baseball America, even lower than MLB. But Keith Law does make reference to the rocky road that Kumar Rocker has had to go. However, the point was, when he came up to the majors last year, he looked as good as he has since his freshman year at Vanderbilt. And one of the reasons is he had lowered his arm slot and it's back to its original position, which allows him to get more depth on his slider. His slider is easily plus and might be a 70 once again.
And remember this, I believe this, Rocker defines that pitch as a curveball.
Okay,
so for some reason, remember this last year we went over this?
Yeah.
Is like all of the websites, whether you go to Baseball Savant or they'll say a slider, but Rocker will tell you that's a curveball.
Because it does have a little more straight drop down action than it does away.
Right. And it can, and I forget which game he pitched at home and against who, but he didn't have a very good game. And that curveball that he defines as a curveball, and it became more sideways action.
Yeah.
He does not want a lot of sideways action from that. He wants more downward action than sideways action. When it gets sideways slider-ish definition, it becomes a very hittable pitch. So keep going. I just want to remind everybody that it's defined as a slider by all of these websites, but if you ask Rocker or Maddox, they'll say it's a curveball.
And it might get up to a 70 once again, and that's a 70 in scouting terms.
80's 100, which is weird.
Yeah, not in miles per hour, so obviously really high. Now, here's the person I really want to talk to because this is wild to me. So Sebastian Walcott, 17, for...
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or MLB.com. Baseball America, either 20 or 21. Keith Law, 2.
Holy cow.
Sebastian Walcott.
Yes, big hands. I shook it.
Is listed as the number 2 prospect in all of baseball behind only Roman Anthony. And I think MLB.com had Roman Anthony at 2nd behind only Roki Sasaki. And you might have arguments about how you think all of that works. But the point is, everybody agrees, or seems mostly everyone agrees, that Roman Anthony is really good. So Keith Law says Sebastian Walcott has jumped from 40th to 2nd on the list.
The backfields are going to be so much fun this year. Oh, is he going to be on the backfields, or is he going to be on the fields?
I don't know if he got invited to camp or
he
not.
Did. Okay. He did get invited to camp. I know another name that popped up that people were intrigued by is Jesse Chavez, who we've talked to
before.
I love
Jesse Chavez. He's a good dude.
But Sebastian Walcott will be there. And so I can go through whatever part that you guys want in this, but I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit. He was okay in high A, low A, but from then on, he cooked. 296, 351, and 511 slash until a late season promotion to double A. So on the whole, he ended the year with an on-base percentage 17 points above the Sally League average and a slugging percentage 78 points above it, and he was the youngest regular in the league. So you're like, you're above average to way above average.
He's still 18 years old.
Yes, and he was, I think he might have just turned 19.
He turns 19 March 14th.
Oh, okay.
So in spring training,
hey,
he turns 19.
Go. So
you could argue he's still a senior in high school.
That is unbelievable. And it goes on to say this, and you'll love the last part. Walcott is a shortstop now, and he's not bad there, but he's extremely likely to outgrow the position. He's going to be larger than Carlos Correa or Corey Seager, two bigger guys who defied expectations to remain at short. At worst, you've got, I see the birthday here now. At worst, you've got a right fielder who hits for average and power. He won't even turn 19 until the first week of March, so he has plenty of time to keep turning these immense physical gifts into baseball skills. I think he's underrated already, and he's my pick to be the number one prospect a year from now.
That's awesome news. I mean, it's just, it's expectations, it's potential.
For sure.
Talked about him. I remember being at a Buffalo Wild Wings and Michael Young wasn't there, but we interviewed Michael Young and I wanted to bring him up because I know that he was last year when we were in spring training, I went back to the backfields and had my phone, I believe. And
yes.
You guys were doing, it was just fun to see everything. And Walcott was playing shortstop in, like, I'll say a big league scrimmage game. But Michael Young was in jersey there and being a special assistant and helping out. And since Michael Young played all 4 infield positions, I wanted to ask him about Walcott because when you see him out there, he's a big kid. And then you watch him and he's like, he looks like he belongs out there. And that was last year at 17 years old. He was about to turn 18. So this year, when we're in spring training, we'll see him at 18 years old. and he's going to kind of look like he belongs. I'm not saying he's ready for the major leagues. There's a lot that goes into being ready for the major leagues.
His hand speed and contact rate are really high up there as well. Here's another blurb. He's got tremendous bat speed and already produces hard contact at a very high rate. So there's every reason to hope he can be a 30-homer guy with a high average, even if his strikeout rate remains in the 24-25%. And so they're like, I'm not even saying he just stops striking out. He still have a high strikeout rate, still have a good average, and hit for power.
Wow. So does Keith Law believe this? I'm just throwing this out here. Does he believe for the 2026 Texas Rangers, and I get we haven't even played a second of spring training yet this year, does he believe it's going to be Langford in left, Carter in center, and Walcott in right for your 2026 outfield?
I would be willing to bet that.
I mean, I'm not saying that's good or bad. Garcia is a free agent after this year. So I think Garcia is going to have a very good year. I think Garcia is going to be a very wanted person. And I would be disappointed, to be honest. I get his age. But I would want the Rangers, if Garcia got back to 2023 Garcia, I would want to try to offer him a 2 or 3 year contract, and probably three is probably what his market's going to be at his age. And I don't know what the per year will be, but look, man, Alex Bregman's struggling to get a contract from, you know, he wanted a long-term contract. It ain't happening. Like when you're 30 years old, teams are now getting very, I don't know about doing a 6 or 7 year deal. That could really hurt us long-term. And then if that happens, Garcia does have the ability as now to play shortstop, or he is 6'4". I'm not saying this is perfect for a kid who's as athletic. Walcott. Okay. What did I say wrong?
Say Garcia.
Garcia, sorry. Walcott is, you could put him at first base. If that's the position that's open, I'm not saying that you should. I'm just saying if that's the position in the future that's open.
If you need to get that bat in the lineup and that's the only way to do it. Makes sense.
The good thing is when you do have a very athletic prospect, you can move them around to different positions and feel like they're going to get it.
And I just want to take a step back. If you're curious about his journey, we're just talking about 2 years removed from him being signed out of the Bahamas. He got signed for $3.2 million, and some scouts said they think he could be the best player ever from that nation.
My God.
Who is the best player from that nation?
Okay.
I have no clue. I'm asking that as a question.
I am actually not sure.
If he ends up being the best player, like if you were to say he's going to be the best Dominican, I'd be like, better than Roberto Clemente? Roberto's Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I already screwed that one up. But, you know, better than, I don't even know if you consider Albert Pujols.
Adrian
Beltre, yeah.
I don't know if he's the best. I have no clue. Yeah, I just, because there's some like really
profars from the Bahamas, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. Jazz Chisholm is somebody that I know who plays right now that immediately jumps to mind.
Yeah, could he be better than Tim Duncan?
Do you know Tim Duncan?
I think I've told this before. Tim Duncan came to one of my rookie ball games in A ball in Burlington, North Carolina, because one of my teammates was Sean DePaula, who was from Wake Forest, and they were friends at Wake Forest. So Tim Duncan, as he was still at Wake Forest at the time, showed up to Burlington, North Carolina to watch a rookie ball game. To watch me pitch.
How did you pitch that day?
Probably awesome. Mm-hmm. Go look up my numbers in Burlington, North Carolina. I kicked butt and took names.
Okay.
It was just the major leagues that I stunk at.
We're the Kansas Masterpiece.
What happened to you, Mike?
Right here.
Major leaguers happened to me.